The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, lots of interesting things to talk about. But even before we get on to the big stories, apparently Palestinian Islamic Jihad will hold a rally today in the Gaza Strip in honor of those who were killed in the recent conflict with Israel. And interestingly, it was the Secretary General of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad who yesterday met with the head of Hezbollah, Nasrallah Khasrallah, and obviously a lot in common between the two organizations. And this came ahead, as I say, of the rally that will be held today in the Gaza Strip. Do you think that the Mossad could have been behind the attack on Salman Rushdie? That is
what?
A question
what?
Which
what?
Apparently
Whoa.
Is being...
Yeah? Yeah,
apparently, but... that is one of the theories that is being put forward by someone called Nader Hashemi. He's the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Denver.
No, it's actually like a real person.
That it's actually a real person with a real idea. Although you can obviously take that idea and do as you wish with it. But he thinks that the Mossad had reason, had a motive to arrange the attack on Salman Rushdie in order apparently to galvanize support against the Iranian nuclear deal.
Oh, for goodness. And the guy that did it, the fact that he actually went to the Middle East, came back heavily influenced by Iran, is supportive of him on social media, doesn't regret what he did because it's in support of Iran, that's obviously completely irrelevant.
Apparently not, according to this guy from the University of Denver, which I understand is actually a real university, with some crazy people and with some crazy ideas. But I thought I'd just throw that one out there just for people to think about, because that's apparently a real view and that's being circulated at the moment. But the last thing I wanted to talk about before we get on to some of the big stories, Howard, is the story about this Arab Israeli girl who is in prison in Abu Dhabi. She was caught drug trafficking in Dubai.
Yeah.
She comes from Haifa. And the story about her is that she was sentenced to death by a court in Abu Dhabi. That now has been commuted to life imprisonment when Israeli consul staff intervened on her behalf, even though she rejected help from the Israeli officials. And the reason that she's rejected help from Israeli officials is she has these anti-Israeli opinions, which originally came to light about 10 years ago when she refused to serve an IDF soldier who was in uniform, came into her restaurant in Haifa, refused to serve him, then went on to apparently commit these offenses in the Emirates and is currently in prison. And so even though she rejected Israeli consular help, apparently the Israeli government has intervened on her behalf, commuted her death sentence to life imprisonment. She has appealed that, but that appeal has failed. And we understand that she is now going to need to serve 25 years in prison in Abu Dhabi for drug trafficking. A very convoluted and fascinating story.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Reports have been made public of Israeli aircraft operating in Iranian airspace over the past few months. What else do we know?
Well, this is a story that's been made public yesterday by Saudi news sites. A Saudi media outlet has reported this. So I think we need to remember where it's coming from. And I'm not quite sure what the motive is for the Saudi news site to make this information public. And we do need to ask ourselves that question when thinking about all the information that's come to light. But according to this news site, the F-35, which is the stealth fighter that Israel has acquired from the U.S., has apparently been active multiple times over the past few months in Iranian airspace. And apparently, according to this news site, Iranian and Russian radar systems, which are installed in Iran, have failed to locate these Israeli F-35s penetrating the Iranian airspace. And more than that, they've spoken about in-flight refueling exercises that have gone on even within Iranian airspace, because let's remember that for an Israeli plane to fly from Israel to Iran and back will need refueling along the way. And so Israel does have refueling capabilities, which it already has in its capability, but Israel has ordered a whole series of new refueling aircraft, which are currently on back order with the US. And so I'm not quite sure to what extent the receipt of those new refueling planes might affect Israel's plans in Iran. But we do know already that Israel has the ability to do in-flight refueling with its somewhat aging fleet of refueling craft. But it goes even further than that, this report. This report even talks about Israeli submarines having been active in the Red Sea area, and that they have even contemplated the possibility of launching attacks from the air over the Red Sea, as well as from submarines that have been active against potentially mapping out Iranian vessels in the Gulf area. Quite extensive reports going into quite a lot of detail about Israeli activity, and also talking about American cooperation. There was a report about Israeli aircraft protecting an American aircraft that went into Iranian airspace, all undetected by the radar systems. So really some quite fascinating stories, if we want to believe everything that we read about them. We do know that the IDF Chief of Staff, Avi Kochavi, did announce last year that new plans were being drawn up for attacks against Iran. And so I suppose one could say that, you know, this does certainly fit in with those reports, that those announcements that he made. I have the personal view that I think it would be highly unlikely for open warfare to erupt between Israel and Iran, that if there was some element of open warfare, it would be very, very pinpointed attacks with Israeli aircraft penetrating, going in and coming out again quickly. Yeah. And potentially it could draw an Iranian response, but I'm very skeptical about the possibility of that open warfare situation. But I have to tell you that these reports have made me think about my views again and wonder whether there may not be the possibility of an open attack against Iran.
What's so strange is that Saudi Arabia is aligned with Israel in their position against Iran, and you just wonder to what end or what the purpose of this report was. It's not like there's complete freedom of press in Saudi Arabia. We know that. So therefore, one would think that this is sanctioned.
Well, it's interesting that this particular Saudi news site, that's very Saudi affiliated, is based in London. So I don't know whether that removes it effectively from the control that the Saudis' influence have over their press. But I would imagine that if it's a pro-Saudi site, even if it's operating from outside of Saudi Arabia, that there would be an element of coordination with the Saudi regime in order to put this message out. I have no idea what the motivation is. I don't know why they would want to put this out, what it would bring to them. But nonetheless, you know, if we just take it at face value, and if we believe even half of what's written here, it's still pretty interesting.
It really is. 7:53. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Israel Report with Anthony Reich. Anthony, a battle has broken out within the Israeli political parties regarding the operation of Tel Aviv's light rail system on Shabbat. All right. So where are we with it? No surprise that this is going to be an issue.
No surprise, and obviously where we are at the moment is that the light rail system hasn't even started working, and we're fighting over this issue. The red line of the light rail system is due to begin operations in November of this year. We are all very much looking forward to the moment when some of the log jam, some of the disaster traffic disaster that's going on in Tel Aviv, some of which is caused by the construction of the light rail system, because there's construction everywhere. Stations are being constructed everywhere, and rail lines and road closures and massive holes in the ground and construction sites popping up everywhere, because, of course, most of the construction is going on underground, and the underground could be in a completely inaccessible, inconvenient area from above ground, and it's just caused absolute chaos in Tel Aviv as far as the traffic is concerned. So it would be very welcome to finally have some traffic movement below ground to relieve the pressure that's going on above the ground at the moment with the massive construction that's going on. It's interesting that Merav Michaeli is Israel's transportation minister. She is a Labour Party member, so she comes from the left wing of Israeli politics. And she has instructed the chairperson of the Metropolitan Mass Transit System in Tel Aviv to already begin an analysis and prepare budgets for operating the light rail system on Shabbat. Of course, the religious parties have jumped up and said, this is not okay. As a general rule, Israel currently follows a rule of not allowing public transportation on Shabbat. That has been the general policy since the establishment of the state in 1948, and currently is still pretty much in place, with a few exceptions. Mm. We've discussed some in the past, some attempts to try and circumvent these restrictions with certain private lines going into operation to help people move around on Shabbat. We know that in Haifa, for example, there is public transportation on Shabbat, because it's very much a mixed neighborhood with many Arab citizens living there. And so there is public transportation on Shabbat. But I really would like the listeners to weigh in here and let us have their views, because this is a major issue that the state of Israel is going to have to confront sooner rather than later. And what's happening in Tel Aviv right now is that the municipality is very much encouraging people not to own a private car at all. So they are cutting down on the number of parking spaces that they make available at street level when building new construction, new blocks of flats and new residential developments. They are reducing the number of off-street parking spaces that are available in all of these new developments. The idea is cut down on private transportation in Tel Aviv and use public transportation. That is the principle which is being followed here. And we see it with the bicycles and the scooters and the buses and bicycle lanes popping up everywhere. There's a lot of encouragement, even parking spaces being removed in Tel Aviv in order to put down cycling lanes. So the idea is get rid of the cars and get all public manners of public transportation, whether they be bicycles or scooters or trains or buses, whatever it is, public transportation. And then you say, except on Shabbat. On Shabbat, you don't have a car, you can't go anywhere. Of course, there are many religious families who wouldn't want to go anywhere on Shabbat anyway, but not all of Tel Aviv adheres to halakha on Shabbat.
In fact, I would imagine it's one of the areas with the least number of Shabbat observant Jews.
I think that would be a fair statement. Certain parts of Tel Aviv are very, very non-observant. Mm. And so those residents of Tel Aviv saying, if you're going to encourage us not to have cars, we need to have an alternative to get around. And that includes Shabbat. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think that there should be public transport in Tel Aviv on Shabbat, or should it be like the rest of Israel or most parts of Israel and not be allowed? It's an interesting one. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to ask you this question. Israel is preparing for possible cyber attacks ahead of the upcoming election. What are those preparations?
Well, the form of cyber attack that's anticipated comes in two major categories. Category number one is an actual cyber attack on the election system itself. So the system that's being used to record, first of all, the voters who are entitled to vote, and to record the actual votes that are cast and to count whatever, you know, to actually take care of election administration. that's one potential area where they've considered the possibility that someone might infiltrate the system, might put false voter names on the voting roll. They might manipulate somehow the information that's counted up over the period of the election and somehow influence the outcome of the election. And of course, that in a sense is one of the easier things to take care of, because there are all kinds of tools that are used, protection that can be used in order to fortify that system to make sure that it's not infiltrated. The more difficult one is social media and these bot accounts and fake news and fake accounts that are set up on social media in order to try and influence public opinion. Sending out information, bots, we've seen so much use of that. Russia, for example, has been very, very famous for setting up multiple fake users using bots in order to try to influence public opinion in order to get people to vote in a certain way after having given them information which either might be false or people might think might be a very much broadly held view, because so many people are saying it. Of course, if it's on Facebook or if it's on Twitter, it must be correct. It must be accurate. And of course, that's not the case. So that's a much, much more difficult one to do. And there are certain protections that the Israeli government have tried to put in place to prevent that from happening. But it's almost impossible to actually put a firm fence around that to prevent it from happening.
Yep, a very, very interesting and an important one, no doubt becoming more and more important. Karen says, my view is that not everybody keeps Shabbos, and there needs to be a plan. People celebrate the Shabbat in their own way. That's her thought. I'd love yours. 3451906189510019. Anthony Rock, that is where we leave it. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chodesh Tov, and we will, of course, chat to you on Monday. It's 8:01.